We are on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and buckle your seatbelts. The topic for today is going to be a little bit unusual, but that's okay. It's good to have Shas survey and learn things that we don't always learn, right? So the Gemara we're up to is the dot, about two-thirds of the way down Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. First word on the line is Be'agma, because that's what we left off with, is the Maror of the Agma. Amar Rav Chisda. The background to all of this is that we know that there is something called an eged. Now we got into the word eged, aguda, a bundle, a group. So that we got into because of lulav. Lulav tzarech eged, lulav ein tzarech eged. That's how we got into all of that. Our Mishnah deals with chavilos. So a chavila means a bundle. An eged is the thing that ties up the bundle. But it can also mean a group or a bundle. So the words kind of overlap a little bit. So what we care about in terms of the Masechta is that we want to know what's considered to be a bundle, what's not considered to be a bundle. Why do we care? Because we know there could be a deraisa problem, and the Mishnah itself is referring to a derabbanan problem. The deraisa problem would be if a person went ahead and he used bundles and he wants to dry them out, so he puts them on top of his sukkah, in quotation marks, not because he's putting them there to produce shade, but he's putting them there in order to dry out in the sun. If he sits under that, he's not yotze. Sukkah is tasav lo mino asui daraisa. Not yotze. Now, because of that, if a person wants to use bundles as schach, even though he's using them for shade, he's not allowed to do that midirabanan because we're afraid that people will end up using bundles that were put there to dry out. And then he won't be yotzei the mitzvah daraisa, because that's ta'asav lo mino asui. So this derabbanan prohibition to use bundles for schach is what we call the gzeiras oitzar. It's a gzeira because of storehouse or whatever you want to call it. It's a gzeira because of people that might put things there simply to dry out. What's considered to be a bundle? Two pieces tied up is a bundle? Three pieces tied up is a bundle? Four pieces? Five pieces? When is something considered to be a bundle that this is a problem? And is there any limitation on what's considered a bundle? Like, if you go ahead and you bind things because you want them to be easy to move from one place to another, is that called a bundle? Well, yeah, why shouldn't it be a bundle? Well, the whole problem of bundles is because we're afraid you're going to interchange them. You're going to accidentally use the ones that you're putting up there to dry out. But if the bundles that you're being masachich with are just there for convenience, it's maybe not even the type of thing that you dry out. A lot of schach comes in bundle, the old schach, you know, the evergreen stuff that people used to use. You don't see people using it anymore. But those come in bundles, but nobody dries them out. So does that mean in that case we won't have a gzeira? What I'm basically asking you is, how far does a gzeira go? Because there is, on the one hand, a principle called lo plug rabbana, that once you make a gzeira, then you make a gzeira. And there are no exceptions. That's a legal principle. On the other hand, one might imagine that we don't always say that. Maybe sometimes there'll be a scenario where it's just not applicable. And if the issue is not an issue, so why should we make a gzeira in that case? So sometimes we say, I don't care that your case is different. It's a lo plug rabbanan. This is the rule, that's the rule. And sometimes we say it depends on the case. If the case isn't comparable, then there's no gzeira. So you have to know each individual gzeira d'rabbanan, when it applies and when it doesn't apply. So that's all in the background of this sugya. And the background of the sugya is, when do we consider something to be a bundle that's problematic, and when might we not consider something that's a bundle to be problematic? So how does the Gemara address all of these issues? So the Gemara gets involved in the beginning with what's called an aguda. And it addresses it from a very unusual place, but okay, that's the way the Torah is. It overlaps a lot of different areas. Amar b'chista, igid b'chad, Loishme eged. If a person ties some leaves together, but it's one stick, it's one branch, so the mere fact that he tied the branch, the leaves or whatever together, that's not called an eged. That's nothing. That's not called binding anything. It's nothing. And remember, we discussed this last time. If you have something that you cut off of the ground, so close to the ground that a bunch of lulav leaves, a bunch of whatevers are sticking out, but it's all connected at the bottom. That's one thing, because that's a natural way that it grows. And it may grow with a number of shoots that come out of the same spot. That's called one branch. So now you go ahead and you tie them all together. That's not called an aguda, because you're tying one thing together. Shalosh, Shmei Eged, if you have three sticks, branches, roots, whatever, three things, and they're separate, and you tie them together, everyone agrees that's called an Eged. Shnayim Machlokes Riyosi Rabbanan. Two is a Machlokes between Rabbi Yosi and the Rabbanan. That's what the Gemara suggests. That's what Rav Chista suggests. And now the Gemara is going to get involved with that. Is that really true? How do you know they argue over that? Is there really a Machlokes over binding of two things? This now, as we learn in the Mishnah, Mitzvah Ezov Shloisha Kalachim, the mitzvah of what's called an Ezov literally translated as a hyssop plant. The hyssop plant was used to sprinkle the water slash ashes of the Parah Aduma. Without getting into all of the details, so the Parah Aduma ashes were put into water. The water is going to last a lot longer than the ashes because you can continuously add water. So as long as there's a little bit left of the original ashes, you're good to go. So you can have Parah Aduma ashes that last a long time because what's really being sprinkled is not the ashes, it's the water. So you have to dip the Ezov, the hyssop, into that water, and then that gets sprinkled onto a person, and the only thing that has to get sprinkled onto a person is a drop. So it can last for a long time. But the bottom line is that you have to use an Ezov in order to sprinkle it. And the Ezov is called an Agudas Ezov, a bundle of hyssop, an Agudas Ezov. So what's considered to be an aguda? Rabbanan say, Tanakhama says, Ezov Shleisha Kalachim, an Ezov is composed of three roots, three separate stalks, branches, whatever, roots. V'hen Shleisha Givoylin, and each root has to have its own stalk. So it's three tied together. That's called an aguda. Rabbi Yosi says, Mitzvah Ezov Shleisha Givoylin, the mitzvah of Ezov is to have three stalks. Mishiyarav, and what's left over, because after you sprinkle it a few times, you imagine some of the leaves fall off, some of the stalks fall off, it falls apart, it's in water, so it becomes ashmata. So, Shlosha Givoylin has to have three branches. Mishiyarav, that means the leftover, like Shirayim from the Rebbe, you know? Shiyarav, the leftovers, Shnayim, you just have to have at least two stalks. The Gardumav, Kol Shehu. And Gardumav, you know, whatever's left over, Rashi says, Kishamazin, Bapa'amim, Harbe, Bidokshish Givoylev, Rachim, Mishtabrim, because as it gets wet, these stalks eventually start to fall apart. The kosher mishtar beguda kosher. Anything that's left in the binding is kosher. As long as each one of whatever is necessary has at least a teeny bit. That's what's called the garduma, the remnants. And the remnants has to be, you know, kosher, something. Okay, so what do you have so far? It's a strange machlokes because it doesn't seem like you're arguing over the same thing. The Rabbanan say the mitzvah of the Ezov is three roots that have three branches. Rabbi Yosi says the mitzvah of Ezov is three branches. And what's left over has to be two. And at the end of the day, the remnants of it, a kol shehu is good enough of those two. So what are they arguing of us? They all agree. It doesn't sound like it's a machlokes here. Kasal kadaitin. It arises into our mind. This is Rabbi Yosi holds that the leftovers have to be two. Well, then two is good enough even from the beginning. And this that the Tanakhama says you require three, and Rabbi Yosi seems to be agreeing with that. According to Rabbi Yosi, is la mitzvah. It's only for the mitzvah, but it's not what we say la akev. It's not necessary. Yeah, so when you find the term the mitzvah in this context, it means la mitzvah v'lo la'akev. That means it's l'chadchila. It's l'chadchila, but it's not ma'akev. Really, you need two, but you know, for some reason, is there something preferable about having three? So the Gemara assumes at this point that that's what Rav Chista was saying, is that one bundle is not a bundle. Three bundles is for sure a bundle. That's a gudas ezoiv. Two is a machlokes. There are Rabbi Yosi and Rabbanan. Rabbi Yosi would hold that all you really need is two, and that's called an agudas ezov. And the Rabbanan hold, no, you need three for an agudas ezov. You can't have two. So it sounds like the Rabbanan would disagree with Rabbi Yosi completely. And they would say, always have to have three. And Rabbi Yosi would say, you really only have to have two. Well, then why would you start off with three? Apparently, there's some reason why lechadchila you should have three, but it's not necessary. All you really need is two. Okay, well, if Rabbi Yosi is allowing two, you see that he holds that a bundle is two. So two is considered to be an aguda, according to Rabbi Yosi, but not according to the Rabbanan. And that's what Rav Chista was saying. Umin Rabbi Yosi shloisha lemitzvah. Since Rabbi Yosi holds three is only lemitzvah, meaning lechatchila, the Rabbanan shloisha la'akev. So mashma, the Rabbanan are disagreeing and they hold three is necessary or you're not yotze. So then the Gemara has a kasha. V'hatanya, but didn't we learn in a brayser, Rabbi Yosi Yomer, Rabbi Yosi says, Ezov sheh techilase shnayim, an Ezov that starts off with only two stalks, shiarav echad, and you're left with only one puzzle. That's no good. V'eino kasher, it's not kasher for sprinkling the paraduma, ad sheh techilase shleisha, v'shiarav shnayim, until you started off with three, and then if you're left with two, it's okay. So from here you see that as Rabbi Yosi holds that you have to start with three. You have to start with three. For some reason, if you're left with two, that's okay. But you have to start with three. So Gemara says, Ipuch. Okay, let's flip it around. That we got the names wrong. Rabbi Yosi Shloisha La'akev. Rabbi Yosi is really the Tanakama of that Mishnah. Rabbi Yosi is really the one that holds you have to have three. The Rabbanan are now what we started off with as Rabbi Yosi. The Rabbanan say that since two is good enough, if you're left with two is good enough when you start also. Okay, so we're going to say the same thing. We're just going to flip the names around. Shloish lemitzvah, but three is just lechatchila. So now the Gemara says, okay, is that true? But Tanya, but didn't we learn in a brisa? Ezov shetchilas eshnayim. V'sheyarav echad kasher. And Ezov, they start off with two. And you're left over with only one later is kasher. Okay, good. That's what we want, right? That's the Rabbanan. So we're suggesting is the opinion of the Rabbanan. Ve'eino pasul, and it's not invalid. Ad she'etchilas v'shayarav echad. Unless you start off with only one from beginning to end, then it's no good. She'yarav echad.
What? He said that having one.
Well, apparently, when it comes to the Ezov, there's a difference between what you start off with and what you're left with. So there are two opinions here. One opinion is, not in terms of the Aguda, in terms of the sprinkling from the Ezov we're talking about now. Apparently, if you started off with two, it's good enough. But if you start off with one, that's no good. What can you be left with?
Well, before we said, if you start off with one, it's not good. So obviously,
you mean, why do you need to say it? Okay, good question. But we'll have to deal with it later. But the Gemara itself says that it's not possible until the beginning and the end is one. Shiyarav echad, bustle. You're left with only one. Ha'amrit shiyarav echad kasher. But I thought we just said that the Rabbanan hold shloisha lemitzvah. What's the brisa? It says, v'hatanya, sorry. Shloisha la'akev, the Rabbanan shloisha lemitzvah. V'hatanya ezov tchilas ha'shnayim shiyarav echad kasher. But the brisa says that if you start off with two, and you're left with one, it's kasher. It's no good until you start with one and end with one. If you're left with one, it's puzzle. You just told me that as long as you start off with two, if you're left with one, it's fine. So how can it be a problem if you're left with one? You mean if you start with one and you're left with one, it's no problem? Because it was never good from the beginning? What's going on over here? So the Gemara says, Ela Ema, rather say, Ad shetehe tchilasai kisha yarav echa. The only problem is when you started off with one, and that's exactly what you're left with, is one. Okay, so bottom line of all of this is that the Gemara does maintain what Rechista said, that it is machlokes Rabbi Yosi and Rabbanan over whether two is considered to be an aguda. How do you know? Because you'd require an agudas ezoiv. And the Rabbanan hold that two is an agudas ezoiv. If you're left with one, it's still kosher, but you have to start with two. And Rabbi Yosi holds you have to start off with three, and I don't know exactly, sounds like it's more complicated with him, what you could be left with. But the bottom line is that you could be left with two, it sounds like going down, whatever it is. But the bottom line is that that's what Chista said. So for our purposes, everyone agrees if you have one thing and you want to just tie up the leaves, that's fine, that's not called a bundle. If you have three things, it's for sure considered to be a bundle and you have a problem. If you have two things bound together, you have a machlokes tanoim. What is the majority opinion? The majority opinion seems to be it is considered to be a bundle because Rabbanan always means the majority opinion. And Rabbi Yosi was the lone opinion. So usually we're not going to paskin like Rabbi Yosi over the Rabbanan, which would mean that two things tied together would be problematic. So the Gemara goes on. Darish Meremar. Meremar had a drasha. Hanei isiraisa desura mesachachin behu. This thing called Isuraisa of Surah. Rashi says, four lines down, Chavile Kanim, bundles of reeds, Shahayo Oisinlim Korbashuk, that they would bundle in order to transport them, to sell them in the marketplace, because they sold them by number. So here's what I mentioned to you before. When we have a gzera, and you have something that's bound together, not to dry out, it's bound together because, well, you want to have a dozen, you know? So how do you know it's a dozen? Well, you sell them like that. You bind them together. That way you can get them to the marketplace easy. And you know there's a dozen already bound together, so you sell them by that number. So these isaraisa desura, these reeds, mesachachim behu, you are allowed to use for schach. Wait a minute. I thought we said you're not allowed to use bundles. Afagav the agdan, even though they're bound, they're bundles. The minyana ba'amudagadan. It's simply for a number in general that they are bound. So here's this idea. So this is interesting. So it comes out that this prohibition, derabbanan, of using bundles for schach is limited to things that people would use to dry out. But if they're binding them for other reasons, our example here is just so you know the number, then the gzera doesn't apply. That's very interesting. Maybe not fascinating, but it is interesting. If you're going to write your Shulchan Aruch, this is an important halacha to know. It won't pass in your sukkah if you use things that are bundled for numbers or for convenience. But they will be passed if it's the things that you bundle in order to dry them out. Amar Rabbi Abba, Hanei Tzrifei D'Urvenei. These Tzrifei D'Urvenei. What are Tzrifei D'Urvenei? Rashi writes, Kimin Kuch Agul Kekoiva. It was some sort of rounded kova, like a hat. You know, it's what do you call it? Like a kippah, like a dome. And the bird hunters would hide inside these things. I don't know exactly how that worked, if then they would pull something to trap them or whatever, but they made some kind of dome that they would hide inside of these branches. It was made out of branches and was tied around, so it was like a dome kind of thing, and they would hide in it. So these two vidurvene came into Hutra Roshe Madanin Shalahan. Once, Kavan here means once, once you untie the tops of their branches, kshayim, they're kasher. Now, they're tied on two sides, right? Because they're being bound on both sides in order to make this like dome type of shape. They're still tied from the bottom, so why is it okay if you untie them at the top? So Gemara asks, v'ha'gide mitatoi, but behold, but they are still bound at the bottom. So why is that okay? You cannot use it if it's tied on both top and bottom. But as long as you untie the top, then it's okay to use. Why, asks the Gemara, they're still tied on the bottom. They're still nagura. Amra Papa, Dishari Lahu. No, it means because if you untie the top, then you have to also untie the bottom. Okay, then what's the chiddush? Then they are untied. Ravuna Ber Reshua, Afilu Tema Deloy Shari Lahu. Even if you say you don't untie them at the bottom. Kol Eged Sheino Asila Tal Taloy. Any Eged that is not made for at least transporting the thing from one thing place to another. Leishmei Eged. That's not called tied. That's not a binding. In other words, again, back to the Zera. Let's say that you have something that's tied together because you made a dome out of it, you know? This is not made to dry out anywhere. Now, you're tying it to stay together, and I don't know, maybe it's a material that could be problematic because a material that maybe you are trying to dry out, but the bottom line is that the purpose of this Eged is to make this dome shape. It's tied in a very specific way. It's not tied in order to be able to carry it conveniently to the market or for wherever, to one place to another. So therefore, the Gemara says that's not called an eged either. So that's a bigger chiddush. So if it's tied in a way that's just in order to tie it in a certain shape, that's also not problematic, according to Rav Huna. Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel, Yiraka she'amru chachamim, adam yetzei bohen yidei chavasa bepesa, vegetables, maror, the chachamim said you can be yotzei your obligation on Pesach, mevinas hatuma, vein chaytzin b'fnei hatuma. So this seems like a big tangent. We'll see how it relates to Sukkah. But the Gemara now is going to get involved in Tumah V'Tahara. So you ready for the Shtickle Tumah V'Tahara? Are we awake enough for this? You guys ready? Here we go. We are entering into the realm of Beis HaMikdash. We're going back in time. Although it's relevant to dead bodies and fun things like that. But even that's not really relevant to Bizman Hazeh except the Kohanim. So maybe you Kohanim, Max, will get a little thrill out of this, you know. But bottom line is, it's going to be a little Tumah V'Tahara issues over here. So Gemara says, sometimes you have leafy greens, maror, romaine lettuce, they can be very large leaves. So those types of things that you can be yotzei maror on Pesach, mevi'en es ha-tumah, they bring tumah. What does that mean, they bring tumah? What do you mean, it brings tumah? It means it can be a tent. It can bring tumah from one place to another. Yeah? Because it's a big leaf, yeah? So it can, if it's covering a dead body or something else, so it can bring the tumah from one place to another. Okay. Ve'ein chaytitzin bifnei ha-tumah, but they don't separate from tumah. So if you remember our conversation a couple of weeks ago about this, so I told you that when it comes to tumah v'tahara, if you have a tent, you have an ohel, what does it do? Number one, it brings tumah from one place to another under the tent. But what else does it do from on top of the tent? It blocks it from rising. This leaf, even though it brings the tumah wherever it's covering, it does not separate. It doesn't keep the tumah underneath. So at the very least, if something's on top of the leaf, it will be matame whatever's on top of the leaf. Now, you're going to tell me, Rabbi, that doesn't make sense, because if it's a tent and it stops the tumah and it spreads the tumah, it's because the tumah is not going up. It can't stop and spread and at the same time be matame on top. So I'll tell you, you're right, this is a din d'rabbanan. Why is it a din d'rabbanan? Because since leaves shrivel up, it's not going to be there that long. So it's not a very good tent. Eventually it's going to shrivel up and whatever's underneath it is going to go up. So because of that, they made gzeros on these types of tents that it actually makes things tame on top. So, number one, it will bring the tumah, lamaisa, it is a tent right now. It will bring the tumah wherever it covers, but it will not separate from the tumah, whatever, will not prevent tumah from rising on top. Upoisl, at least in some way. Upoisl b'sukkah mishum avir, and it passels on a sukkah because of airspace. What do you mean? If you want to use lettuce as your schach, so then it will not count as schach, it will be considered airspace. Because it's going to shrivel up, it's not going to be there anymore, and therefore it's considered like it's not there now. The chiddush of that is that we should have considered it like food or something like that, right? Lettuce. I mean, there are animals like rabbits that eat these things, not people. Chas v'shalom, we don't eat salad. But... yeah, we'll see who eats salad at lunch today. Okay, we'll see. Yeah, all right. Anyway, so when it comes to these guys, you should have said it. It's schach pasul. Now, schach pasul is different than saying it's airspace. So just file this thought away. Halach lamaise. If you leave open airspace in your schach, it's only a problem if it's three tfachim. Because lavud. Airspace, although you can connect things if there's just airspace. Remember with lavud? But if it's schach pasul, it's much harder to pasul a sukkah than schach pasul. Because at the end of the day, it's something there. So it is a covering, it's not airspace. So schach pasul is only going to pasul if it like it breaks up your sukkah, or it's much more complicated to pasul your whole sukkah with a little piece of schach that's no good. So what the Gemara says is that if you're going to use lettuce for schach, it's going to be considered airspace. And so you're going to have lovehood to account for that. Okay, those are the halachas. Now the Gemara says, my time. What's the reason? Since once it dries out, yavshe is yavesh, it dries out, parche, it flies away, v'nafle, and it shrivels up. Parche, it shrivels up, v'nafle, it falls down. Even when it's there, it's not really considered there. And so that accounts for all of the halachas that we mentioned, other than the first one, which is that it spreads the tumah. It spreads the tumah because at the end of the day, right now, it's not shriveled up. So deraisa, it's going to spread the tumah. But midrabanan, it's not considered there, and therefore it has all of the other ramifications that it doesn't. The tumah will still go up, and it will be considered to be airspace in your sukkah, and not schach pasul. V'amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna. Habaitzer legas. Okay, ready for this? Hope you're waking up for this. More Tumah V'Tahara issues. Botzer is harvesting. Botzer is the type of harvesting that is used when you're talking about grapes and whatnot. It's not kitzira. Kitzira is harvesting when you're cutting down wheat, barley, rye, oats, spelt, right? That's called kitzira, kotzer. Botzer is when you're harvesting grapes. And when you harvest grapes, obviously the grapes, There's also stems. And sometimes there may even be pieces of the vine that are there. But what we're discussing right now is a fascinating concept in halacha called yadayim. What are yadayim? What are yadayim?
Hands.
In Tumah V'Tahara, yadayim means handles. Yeah? Handles, who cares about handles? Well, let's say that you have a food. And food is susceptible to tumah once it gets wet, right? Once it gets cleaned off, washed off with water. So food can have a handle, or it could not have a handle. What do you mean? Well, let's say you cut off a grape and the stem's still attached. If you want those stems attached, because that's how you're going to be able to eat the grapes, because you're going to hold on to the stem in order to eat the grapes or whatever, then those stems are considered to be handles for the grapes. And as long as they're considered to be handles for the grapes, they're considered part of the grape. Who cares? Well, if the grape's tame, the handle will be tame. If the handle becomes tame, the grape will become tame. They're considered a united entity. But if they're not considered handles, they're just the annoying thing that's still there. You don't really want it there. So then it will be considered a separate part from the grape. And if the grape's tame, the handle will not be tame. And if the handle becomes tame, then the grape won't become tame because it's not a handle. So it's only considered a handle when you want it there in order to eat it or whatever.
What is the handle?
A stem. Whatever.
Is this a stem for the grape?
In this case, it's a stem for the grape.
Okay.
So, but that's the vort. When it comes to food, food is susceptible to tumah. And the question is any part that's the non-food part, how do you view it? Do you view it as part and parcel of the food, and therefore as all the halachos of food, in terms of Tumah V'Tahara? Or no, is it considered to be a tree? I mean, it's a tree. At the end of the day, it's a stem. You're not eating it. So it's a separate entity, and it's not going to be susceptible to tumah, and it's not going to be matami the food, and etc. Although we won't have any halachos of Tumah V'Tahara. So it depends on whether it's considered to be a handle or not. When is it considered to be a handle? When is it not considered to be a handle? So there are going to be different cases. But the gist of it is, whenever it's there because you want to hold it to eat the food, it's a handle. If it's just there because, I don't know, you can get it from one place to another, I don't know, it's just there for whatever other reason, then it's not considered a handle for the food. So we'll have to figure out when it is and when it isn't. But that's the idea. So the Gemara says, "Bamar Rabbi Abba Amar Rav Huna." Rabbi Abba told us another halacha. If a person is harvesting for the press, so what does it mean he's harvesting for the press? He's making wine. Ein lo yadois. There are no yadois. The stems are not handles. They do not have halachas of tumah. You want to take a guess why? If he's harvesting the grapes, and there are plenty of stems attached to the grapes, and ultimately the reason he's harvesting is not to eat the grapes, but because he wants to make wine, then all those stems are not considered handles in halacha. Why? Because he doesn't even want them there. Because what happens if some of those stems gets in the press and gets in the wine?
Contaminated.
Well, I wouldn't say contaminated exactly, but what will it do? From a business perspective.
It's
going to suck up some of the wine, right? It's going to get absorbed into all this wood. You're going to have to dig it out, and you're going to end up losing some of your wine. You don't want that to happen. You know, wood does expand, you know? So it is spongy to some extent. You don't want to lose your wine. It's detrimental. So in that case, he doesn't want them at all, and they're not considered to be handles at all. Rav Menashe bar Gida Amar Rav Huna, HaKoitzer L'Schach. If a person is harvesting, remember I told you Koitzer is relevant to things he stalks, he cut off from the ground. Wheat, rye, oats, whatever those types of things. So if a person is harvesting, and he wants to use them for Schach, now of course, the part that's the wheat part, the kernel part, is problematic for Schach, because it's food. But this stalk, what we call, you know, the hay, whatever you want to call that, that's fine. That's not food. You can be masachic with that. I think last night someone pointed out that that's what the farmers use to pick their teeth. That's what you put in your mouth, whatever. But that part is not food at all. So truth is, if you're going to use this for schach, you can. You know why? Because the stalks are much bigger than the grain part and the kernel part. Because of that, the kernels will all be butel. So you have more hay than you have kernels, you're good to go. Even though the kernels are all schach basel, but the stalks are a lot longer than the kernels are. Are you with me? So you could use it for schach as long as you make sure you have enough hay over the kernels. So a kochel l'schach, if a person is harvesting to use wheat, let's say, for schach, ein lo yadois, then they don't have, all the stalks are not considered to be yadois. Why is that?
Because
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't want the kernels even. I mean, all he wants is the handles. He doesn't want the... It's not there for the food, you know. It's there for his chat. Okay, so now the Gemara says, okay, what do you need to make both of these statements for? Why do you need to tell me that someone who harvests grapes, then the stems are not yados, and someone who harvests wheat, then the stems are not yados for schach? Man da amar koitzer, the one that told us the halacha by schach, wheat for schach, kol shegein boitzer. So for sure you would agree with the other opinion that if a person harvests the grapes for wine, that the stems are not yados. The lenichalei, because for sure he doesn't want, everyone can agree, you don't want the stems in your wine because it's not good, it's not good for him, because the lo nimtsaya, he doesn't want them to be found or to be motzeitz or to suck up lechamre his wine. Mandam or boitzer, but the one that holds that they're not stems for the grapes when he's making wine, she'ein lo yadais, they're not considered stem, not considered handles in that case. Of a kaitzer, but if a person's harvesting wheat, yishla yadais, he may say they are considered yadais. He may not agree. Why? Because maybe he wants the kernels attached. Because that's what's weighing down the hay part from flying all over the place. Because it's heavier. So you with me on that? So there's a difference between the two cases, because the reason why the stems are not yadois are because they suck up some of the wine, so nobody would want them there. But in the case of the schach, you could argue that a person does want them attached to the kernels, because the kernel part will weigh down the stalk, the hay. In which case, I'll keep it on your sukkah, you know, otherwise it can fly away. In that case, that may legitimately be considered a handle, and that may really be a problem. So the one that says boitzer legas, the stems are not yadais, he may not agree with his point. But the one who says that ha-koitzer for schach is not yadais, he for sure will agree that ha-boitzer legas, the stems are not yadais. Neiman Rabban Asya bar Gida Tanaihi. Let's say that this idea that Rabban Asya bar Gida claims that you're allowed to use hay for schach, wheat for schach, that might actually be a machlokes tanoim. How do you know? This Anya, as we learn in a Braisa. Suche te'enim, fig branches. Ubehen te'enim, and there are still figs attached to them. Parchilin, ubehen anavim. Grape vines that are cut off, but they're grape branches. How do you call them? Grape vines that are cut from the ground. And there are grapes still attached. Kashin, stalks. Ubehen shibolim. And there are still kernels attached to them, which is our case. That's what we're talking about. Mechabdois, date leaves, uhen tumarim, and there are still dates attached to them. All of these cases that we just mentioned, kulan, all of them, im psoiles meruba al ha'oichlin, ksheira. If there is more psoiles, you know, the part that you don't eat, is the majority on the oichlin, the food part that you eat, ksheira. Then it's kosher. Kosher for what? For schach, right? V'im lav, and if not, psula, then it's no good. If there's more fruit than there is non-fruit, so then of course it's going to be a problem because you need to be mevatel, the food part, to use them for schach. Acherim oimrim, others say, ad shu kashin merubin ala yadais, that it's no good to use for schach until the hay part, the stalk part, is the majority over the handle part. Allah yadais? Wait a minute. I thought we said they're not considered yadais when you cut them for schach. I thought they're only yadais when you cut them for other reasons, but not for schach. So isn't this clearly a machlokes tanoim? Whether wheat has yadais or not? Because Tanakhama holds they don't have yadais. It's just a question of being mevatel the kernel. And the acherim is saying there are considered to be three parts of the stalk. There's the kernel. There's the stalk closest to the kernel, which is the yad, the handle. And then there's the farther away part of the stalk, which is not even considered to be a handle. So wow, he holds there are handles when it comes to the wheat, even though it was harvested for schach. So this machlok is tanoim. Ve'ala oichlin. Ve'ala oichlin. Same thing when it comes to the food. Okay, period. My love, welcome, Mifligi. Is it not that this is what they're arguing about? Demar Savar, Yesh Lahan Yadai, said Achirim hold, there are handles when it comes to harvesting for Skach. Mumar Savar, and the Tanakama hold, Ein Lahan Yadai, no, there's no such thing, you just have to be Mavatal, the food part. L'Rebbe Abba Vadai Tanaihi. According to Rebbe Abba, for sure it's a machlokes Tanoim. Reb Menasya Bargida, Milei Matanaihi, but Kormanashi Bargida, so who says it's a machlokes Tanoim? In other words, according to Riaba, who says boats are lagas, that he was the one that made the distinction and said, well, he holds that it's not considered to be handles when it's going to be wine. Okay, but he may not agree. There may actually be a dime when it comes to wheat. So he would hold, yes, this is a machlokes tanoim. But according to Rinash Megida, so the question is, what does he do with this machlokes tanoim? Because he says clearly, he claims that you can go ahead and use wheat for schach. What does he do about Achirim? So Rash Bargida Milema Tanaihi, who says it's a machlokes tanoim? Amalech Rav Nashia would answer in the following way. The Kulei Alma Savri, the whole world holds, a Kaitzer L'Schach, Ein L'Yadais. If a person is harvesting for the purpose of Schach, it has no Yadais, it doesn't have a handle. In this case, where it says that you have to have more external or farther away part of the stalk than the closer part of the stalk, because there are yadois when it comes to stalks. What are we dealing with in this case? The case has to be originally he harvested them because he was going to eat. He was going to use them for food purposes. And he changed his mind about them. He went back on them. And decided he's going to use it for schach. So that's his distinction. He says, if you're going to cut them off the ground in order to use them for schach, then everyone agrees that none of that schach is considered to be a yad. But if you're going to harvest it originally, because you can use it for wheat, for flour, so then everyone would agree, he claims, that it is considered to be a yad, at least the part that's closest to the kernel. So this case, what we're talking about, schach in the braisa. In this case, there it says you have to have, according to Achirim, you have to have more stalk than even the yad, which would be the closest. You know what I mean by this? According to the Tanakama, there's two parts to wheat. There's the stalk, there's the kernel part, and then there's the stalk. And that's it. And he holds that none of the stuff is considered to be a yad. But Achirim are saying there's a difference here. There are three parts. There's the shiboiles, the kernels, and then there's a yad part, the part that's closest, and the rest of it that's farther away. So that's considered nothing. That's how Achirim looks at it. So according to him, you need more of the farther away part to be mevatel both this, the yad, and the shiboiles. You need both of them, the kernels and the yad. And according to the Tanakhama, no, there's only two parts. You just have to mevatel the kernels, that's it. So Rav Menashe is going to say the only time that we're going to divide it into three sections where there's a yad is if it was food. When's it going to be food? When originally it was harvested for food purposes. But if it originally was harvested for schach purposes, then there's no such thing as dividing it into three. Everyone will agree that you only divide it into two. There are kernels and there is a stalk. So Gemara says, wait a minute. E cuts it on lachila. If the case is where they harvested it for food, my time would I drabanon. So then why would the Rabbanon think that there's no yad? Shouldn't everyone agree that it should have three sections? It's harvested for food. So you're going to want the little part near the kernels, aren't you? What are the Rabbanon going to say about that? Why would they disagree? Maybe they're born on hold that once you change your mind and you decide you're going to use it for schach, then it eliminates the section that's considered a yad. Now it's no longer a yad. But lele machshav, then his machshava is now eliminated. Umi but lele machshava b'achi. Really? Can you simply eliminate your thought process by changing your mind? But now, didn't we learn in our Mishnah? Kol hakelim yoredin lidei tuma b'machshava ve'ein oilin mitumasan ela b'shinui ma'aseh. All kelim become a kli with thought alone, where you decide you're going to use it as a kli. Ve'ein oilin mitumasan, but they can't stop being a kli. They don't go up from their tuma ela b'shinui ma'aseh, unless you actually do an action to it or with it or something like that. An action can remove another action or a thought. But a thought is not good enough to change what has been done with an action, and not even what has been done with another machshava. If you'll say, that's because you're talking about making a kli, because a kli is very chashuv. But we're just talking about handles. Which are just there to hold on to while you eat it. They're necessary for eating it. So they become a yad with machshava, and maybe they're eliminated. They stop being a yad with machshava as well. So then the Gemara says, what did we learn in the Mishnah? And the Gemara goes on from there. So I don't know how much we want to do. We really need to finish up to the Mishnah. So we're gonna stop here. But we really need just to finish it up. So I think what we'll do is we'll just chazer over this last piece tomorrow. But just in the minute that we have left, let me just summarize what happened over here. So what the Gemara did was, we got involved with the issue of bundles. And the issue of bundles, we said, number one, how many is considered a bundle? And the Gemara said, well, one for sure is not. Three for sure is. Two is machlokes tanoim. And the Gemara says, really? What's the machlokes? The Gemara says, ultimately, it is a machlokes tanoim. The Rabbanon ultimately are the ones that hold it is considered a bundle. That's the majority opinion, so you'd expect that that's what we would hold halacha lemaaseh. And then the Gemara gets involved with a few cases where it says not everything is problematic as a bundle. Because Chazal's gzeira of bundles was because we're afraid people are going to end up with a daraisa problem. You don't make a gzeira for a derabanan problem. You're not allowed to make a gzeira. So the only time it's a problem is when it might be left on top, not for the purpose of schach. So since other things may be bound not to be dried out and left there, so that's not a problem. We don't say lo plo, that it's just a gzeira that applies in every situation. Every situation needs to be evaluated on its own. Then the Gemara got involved with being masachik with something that may shrivel up and no longer be there. The Gemara says that is considered to be airspace, and that even applies when it comes to Tumah Vatara, that is considered to be airspace derabanan as well. And then the Gemara said, if you're going to use certain types of things for schach, when is it problematic? In other words, the issue here is, since you're not allowed to use something that's makabel tuma for schach, so when is the whole thing considered makabel tuma, and when is not the whole thing considered makabel tuma? If you're going to use something that has some food attached to it for schach, so as long as the majority is non-food, you'd think you'd be okay. But it's not so simple, because there's a concept called yadois, yadayim. So yadois are handles, and that's a topic that I don't know if you guys have ever heard of before. Have you ever encountered this in your perusal of issues of Tumah Vatara and Chazal? So we'll go over it really not tomorrow. But that's the idea that the Gemara gets involved over here, is there is a concept of handles for food. But a handle for food is not always going to be considered a handle. And so that's what the Gemara gets involved with over here. When is it? When is it not? When can you use it for schach? When can't you? So, Lina will go over it tomorrow.